FMX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X Review Pod. We're going to look back at Southwick. Yeah, Saturday night. That's what we do, people. That's what we do for you. We do pods on Saturday nights now. Well, I didn't go, so that's probably why we're doing this. So don't look at it like something that's going to happen all the time. But anyways, thank you for listening. Appreciate it. We're going to dive into Southwick here with the usual people, Weej and JT. And yeah, talk a little bit about what happened there. Jet Lawrence and Hayden Deegan, the winners yet again. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. And you look at Chance Hymus, you look at RJ Hampshire, you look at Dean Wilson, you look at tons of these guys. Flyracing.com, 25 years of Fly. Get it at motorsport.com or your local dealer. And the Formula helmet's amazing. Evo gear is the top of the line stuff. But man, whether it's the Evo, whether it's the kinetic mesh, light gear, they've got something for everybody. F16 as well. So they got lots of sizes and colors and everything else for a lot of people on flyracing.com. And check it out, please, everybody. Thank you to those guys for coming on board the podcast. And the Formula helmet, man, it's amazing. Renthal and motorsport.com. And, of course, Maxxis Tires, we'll tell you more about throughout the course of the show. But first up, yeah, thank you to Maxxis, man. Maxxis Tires, great company. Dirt bike tires for Cade Clayson, Freddie Norn, and many others. And, of course, mountain bike tires are really great. So thanks to the folks at Maxxis Tires for coming on board. Light truck tires, trailer tires. McGrath helped develop the latest iteration of the motocross tires. So please check it out if you can at Maxxis.com for more information. I will tell you more about the other guys later on. But for now, let's talk some Southwick, shall we? All right, everybody, let's talk some Southwick like I promised off the top here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Saturday night version, too. This man brought you all the action from Southwick this weekend in the booth with James Stewart. And, yeah, he's got lots to say, I'm sure. The Jason Wygant. What's up, Weej?
Yeah, we are setting records here. Have we ever done one of these Saturday night?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. We have.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Maybe Supercross. We've done it though. I think like a day Supercross. We did it before.
Okay,
it's happened, but very rare.
Wow. Okay, so maybe COVID Supercrosses. We went back to our rental house and did it on this.
Yeah, yeah. I just know we've done it before. I don't. It doesn't matter. This we're definitely breaking trend.
Well, don't expect this to happen.
No.
Going forward, Jason Thomas.
Well, you do miss a lot of races. You do miss
yes,
a lot of races.
Just skip the races. It'll work out perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do I have everybody's permission to stay home or?
No, I don't think Razor X would appreciate that.
I don't think we asked. I don't think you asked for permission this time. You just did it.
Yeah, I did. Good times. Fly Racing's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. You know what I'm most thankful for, other than you not being here, was the weather today. Like, it was so unseasonably cool. It was amazing. Like, that was so nice, like a nice break from the heat. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had guys passing out and doing the, Phil had a heat dance going on. It was gnarly last year, so yeah, you know?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Lots to get into when it comes to the race. We had some sound issues going on. I want to ask you guys about that as well. Adam Sean Cirillo in the booth as well, as a pit reporter for the first time as well. But let's start with Chase Sexton. That was a hell of a second moto. Obviously, Jet was hurting a little bit, Weej. But, yeah, he just, I don't know, just hit the rocket burners and then went into first and then had a 9-second lead within a lap and a half. And if you're Ian Harrison or Roger DeCoster, the mystery that is the riddle of Chase Sexton, who, by the way, got dropped in the first moto, got third, but got dropped. I'm thankful for Chase Sexton because it always gives us something to talk about.
I know, man. And as a microcosm, that moto, JT and I were at dinner before this, and I can't even figure out what that moto was. It was like all three guys had different times where they were strong. And look, if you had never watched the sport of motocross before and you knew that it was one of the most physically demanding sports ever, this would seem normal for one guy to be the fastest guy for a while, then another guy puts on a push, or maybe he went too early, and then the other guy who saved himself at the end wins, except we've all watched races for like 30-some years, and we just know this is not normal. But what we're seeing is not normal. I don't get it. It should be normal, but it looks like they pretty much go really fast for a long time normally. Here, it looked to me like Sexton took 10 minutes off and just said,
yeah,
I'm gonna save it.
Yeah, it's great, JT. It just gives us a lot of talk about. We just keep doing this, and we'll be like, oh, hey, Chase is back. Oh, hey, Chase is gone.
I couldn't figure out what Jet was doing. I threw so many theories out there on the broadcast. I pretty much threw out everything I could think of during that moto of what he was doing because I couldn't tell. And then I finally came to the realization that he's just not 100%. Like, he was tired, and he wasn't healthy yet, and he didn't have any. But I couldn't wrap my head around it because he's just waiting. Is he getting roosted? Is Sexton just kind of hanging out back there? Is he not able to go? Like, every possibility was on the table in that moto. And by the end, truth came to light. But, man, it was really, really challenging to kind of parse through all of the strangeness that was going on.
Weege, props to you, though, for pointing out the Jet before the moto looked to be a little strained.
It was funny. I think when we first saw that, I can't even remember if that was on the air. We went back and showed it later. Or did you see it as it happened before the
moto?
Yeah, they showed it as a replay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It was funny because the show started with, I was like word association with Stu, and I was like, what do you think when you come to Southwick? And he gave this like hangdog, like, that's kind of what you think when you're going to race Southwick. Like, this is going to be tough. And then lo and behold, 2 hours later, Jet pretty much does that exact face. And this is after winning the first moto. And you're like, yeah, he is not quite feeling it still yet. Feeling it in a good way. So, I don't know. But like JT said, we're throwing at every theory on earth. Because literally, it was like, I don't know. It wasn't even laps, multiple laps. It'd be like sections where one guy would hammer it. Like, Hunter had that one section after the start. It's unbelievable. And then the other half of the track, Sexton would be good. And then, JT, you made the point, when Jet repassed Sexton, that was nuts for about 12 seconds.
Yeah, he even said on the podium, it's like, I tried to fight him off there for a minute, and I just couldn't do it. Because we were in the midst of you, James, like, talking about that battle back, like, nope, he's going to pick it up. And then I noticed, and I was trying to, like, get in, and it's really challenging when things are happening fast to kind of comment with you guys. But I immediately saw him sit up. And when I say sit up, I mean, like, his body language changes, and he's just like, nope, that's not going to work. Like, he's just like, go on by. And I was trying to, like, get on air to be like, he's about to let him go by. Like, he's done. Like, I saw it right as it happened. He tried, and he's like, this isn't going to work. Like, I got to let him go. Like, I'm done here.
Super cool to watch that little battle of them, though. They were going at it. That was awesome. I tweeted about it on Racer X. That was impressive until, like you said, he was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. But that was awesome. They were sending it. Both of them were, like, going after it. So for about a lap or three quarters of a lap there, that was awesome. But that was obviously after a week off, and it's a rough sand track, and it's gnarly. And we love this Chase Sexton just, you know, attacking and getting a rocket ship and winning the second moto. I do wonder, though, is it just a matter of Jet getting healthy, though? Because, like, whatever percent you want to put on right now, he just won High Point, and he won this race. Let's not forget, we started talking about Sexton. He did win the overall. He got the most points today out of everybody. So I do wonder if it's just like, his shoulder's better, guys, and everyone's in trouble again, you know? Like, we're maybe missing...
I do think that.
We're missing the point here a little bit. I don't
know. The first moto was pretty telling, in my opinion. Like, he was able to kind of ride away. And I just don't think his body is there yet, right? And interviewed Johnny O'Mara after the race for the post show, kind of asking like, hey, how do you manage this? Because the more time that you don't train and you're not able to, you know, you're going to suffer. Like, if that's going to show up at some point and you're not going to be as good as you possibly were if you're not doing all the same things that made you as great as you can be. But yeah, I think we saw glimpses of it for the first time in that first moto, like how explosive he can be at the beginning of the race. Like, he was out of there. And then we also saw that he's not quite 100% either, but that was the first sign for me. That was the first sign I saw of the best Jet can be. And that's a very scary thing for everybody else.
Weege, I did like Adam pointing out that, you know, sometimes you're not gonna be able to get the bike set up. You're gonna be uncomfortable. You just got to ride it. Oh, I loved it.
Oh, it just felt good, cathartic.
Oh, I sent him a text.
Oh, you did.
Couldn't help it.
Don't want to hear about the setup.
No, don't want to hear about it. You just got to sometimes ride it uncomfortable. That's it. You just got to do it. Sexton did.
The only thing I agree, but JT, I'll give you this one. JT and I, Steve, we did this show called SMX Insider during the week. You were with it?
Not familiar, no.
Okay. JT, your big point coming into this weekend was that the headline is Jet Lawrence is not the points leader. And I was like, yeah, he crashed a Momoto. That's it. Like, it's just an anomaly. But, I mean, we're getting to the halfway point of the series. If you're for sure, you're not saying, oh, I'm going to get – if you're Sexton, you're at least telling yourself and probably believing, this is what I always thought I could do, and now I'm doing it. Not, I'm just getting lucky that the guy's shoulders hurt. My point is, this is – we're into the halfway point, and he's still not the points leader. You're probably right once the shoulder's good. But I got to give credit where it's – I mean, these have been dogfights. These guys have been good. Sexton, I'm sure, has moments where he would look in the mirror and fully believe I can be the best guy. That counts for something.
Yeah, but Weege, I mean –
but you know what? I think Weege's point is, at what point does that become like, okay, well, we know you can be better than this, but if you can't get there, you're going to be in a dogfight down to the last moto. Like, yeah. At some point – you have to realize that potential of what the level we know you can be at, and you have to go just dominate. I'm not saying he's not going. I'm definitely not saying he's not going to get there. I'm not. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Yeah,
I understand Weege's point is the longer this drags on, the longer it goes where he's giving points back, the status quo is staying the same, the more possible it becomes that this goes a different direction.
No. He won four out of the last five motos. He gave points away today in the second moto, sure. But, yeah, I mean, we do have four in a row. He doesn't have another week off. He does not have another week off. So there is that. No. Ridiculous.
I'll just put it this way. After Thunder Valley, Jet comes back a week after Hangtown and ends up winning, and Sexton doesn't even get on the podium. There's no way someone says, actually, 3 weeks from now, Sexton will beat Jet straight up in a moto at Southwick. You'd have been like, what? Yeah,
sure. Okay, fair, but
Jet's only going to be even more superior with each week. He'll be even better at High Point. And then by the time we get to Southwick, the weekend off, he'll be building. He'll be gone at that point.
I mean, he got beat by 17 seconds in the first moto. I don't know. Yeah.
You have to also remember, there's no way Sexton is telling himself any of these things.
No, yes. No, he's the Chad Reed school. Yeah, no, he's...
It is, yeah. And... damn it all, sometimes the Chad Reed school does work.
Maybe. I mean, like I said on the show, you know, the margin of error is less and less. You know, if you have one more moto for Jet, right? So, yeah, there is that. But
well, JT, you always said in Supercross over and over, the longer you let the guys hang around.
Yep, you cannot. Like, I truly believe that Jet Lawrence will be the champion this summer. I think he's the best rider in the world. That is an unequivocal take for me. Like, I'm all in on that take. But, an inferior team allowed to hang around can find a way to steal victory away. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's all I'm saying. The odds of things going awry go up the longer you let someone hang around. That's it. That's the only point.
So Jet wins 1-2 on the day, 47. That's a great day of racing at Sekimoto, like we said. Good job to Chase for winning. And Hunter Lawrence, 2-3 on the day in the lead in Moto2. I think if you're Hunter, you're still got the red plate, Weech, but you're probably a little bummed that you had the lead and you two guys got you.
Man, I don't know. I think he just thinks of things different than the normal stuff. I think he just rides his own race, and whatever he gets is what he gets. And what I think is cool is that I think if anyone wondered, like, if he's good enough to beat Chet, he showed he will just do it. Like, I will pass him if I need to. If I can go by him and if I can beat him, I will do it. Like, I'm not worried. I'm not intimidated. It's not in my head. Like, he went right by him. And if he didn't get tired, he would have just beat him. No problem. So, yeah, I don't think Hunter thinks of it like most bench racers do.
Well, like, you're a racer and you have the lead and you're a champion and you have the lead and you get passed. I'm sure whatever you want to say. I mean, we just talked about how Chase Sexton thinks about how he is better than Jet after that moto win, and that's fine. I mean, how could you not, if you're Hunter, be like, oh man, I should have went 2-1. Like, none of these guys want to get passed ever, right? When you're leading the race, you know, you don't want to get passed.
Hunter leans so hard in on the result is not what matters.
That's fine that he could tell the public that, but, I mean, he's leading the championship.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like Hunter is also very savvy on interviews and things like that. So, whatever he wants to say, great. But, I mean, he had the lead on a track.
Yeah, but even when he has good days, he says the same damn thing.
Yeah, sure. By the way, going back to Sexton, he told JT that his riding needs to be better and that he felt like a potato sack after Moto 1. That's great.
Right, like a sack of potatoes.
Sack of potatoes. That's great. That's fantastic.
Is it not weird, by the way, the two races in a row where he gets just blown away in the first moto and then is the best guy in the second moto? Is that weird?
I don't know, man. That's why I started with this pod. This is great. Yeah, it's super weird. It's super weird.
He's really bad, by the way.
Maybe it is a super rare. Maybe it's just that. But that's the overarching point you're making, Steve. Every gate drop, you do not know.
Yeah, this is great to talk about because, yeah, we're just like, you know, after Lakewood, we came on here and we're just like, what the fuck? How does that happen? You just crushed everybody, right? So I'm here for it. I'm here for it to try to break it all down.
It's true. Yes, he went last to first and then no podium.
I'm in a group text with him and Lewis and – Last week, he said he was going to call me to talk about his season. Did not call. I texted a few times that I'm ready for the call. Still never called. So I'll let
this
you...
is not to do an interview. This is just a chat.
This is just a chat.
Okay. So, Chase Sexton, everybody.
He said he was going to call.
That makes me happy that he didn't call.
But I am like the...
He just wants to make sure you're in the loop?
Yeah. I'm like the girl, you know, just the... The guy just got a number at the bar, right? probably a fake number, not even a real number. And I'm just waiting. So, yeah, I'll let you guys know. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm sure she'll call. if he calls, I'm going to, you know. Really get to the bottom of this.
Well, no, maybe it's just between you. Don't tell us.
Okay, all right.
I'm glad he wants to just make sure that you know what's going on with him as a friend. Not as media, no.
All right, Justin Cooper, very fast at Southwick at times over the years. And, kind of had to been, he was kind of the fourth best guy. He got fourth overall. Dylan was really good in that second moto for sure. And first moto, Dylan came from the back. So maybe you can make a case that Dylan goes, 5-5 on this day, or 5-6 or whatever Justin Cooper did. But he can't be stoked with his day, I don't think. Qualified well and everything else. And then, Dylan down in the first turn or just a real bad start? Crash in the first lap? Or just first moto?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he got a lot of passing points, Dylan did, in the first moto. And then second moto, it looked like he rode pretty well to get Cooper.
The word that Dylan was there at press day, did a couple interviews, and said they're having major engine problems, and they thought it might be better this weekend. I assume this was an example of being better. It was better.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate to say it, Steve, but you kind of theorized that maybe privateer Honda team first year doing this might not be ready.
Thank you. Just any privateer team, if you're going for the championship and wins, I mean, it's such a huge deal to race against these factories, right?
Yeah.
But Dylan looked like he rode well. on the day. Fifth overall. I think that's his best finish of the year. Did he get do better at Paula? Did he? Do we know?
Yeah, I think it was close. I can look it up here. Yeah, I thought he was fifth there.
7-5 at Paula, 7-5 at Southwick.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
So same day, basically.
Yep.
Which is, I guess, yeah, you'll take it, right? And then AP had some goggle issues. Pulled into the goggles in Moto 1.
Yes.
12-4 on the day. Good job for second moto for AP.
Yeah, he was in there for a while too, second moto.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was. You had made mention he caught on to Sexton a little bit before. Was this when Sexton was bad and then but Hunter was good and then later on Hunter was bad, Chase was good.
I don't know, man.
Jet was good, then Hunter was – Sexton was bad. I don't know, man. Yeah.
You mean like the half a lap where Sexton blew by Hunter and then the next half a lap where Hunter blew by Sexton?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That yeah, that part. At some point, AP was there and riding really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah.
Barsha dropped the bomb that this is it for him?
For a little bit. Yep. Yeah. I talked to him quite a bit this weekend. His knees are shot. He doesn't need surgery, but I think he literally was just like, I'm not missing Southwick.
It's that weird because at Glen Helen – and again, it's just riders and whatever. This goes back to maybe Sexton never calling me. But at Glen Helen, I'm like, hey, man, how bad are your knees? Like, because he told me earlier that he hadn't been practicing, right? And now he was practicing at Glen Helen the day I saw him there. And I said, hey, how bad are these things? Are you going to miss time? Like, do you have to miss time? How bad are they? No, they're fine.
When was that, though?
Well, that Glen Helen time.
Was it before High Point?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah. No, see, I think that other knee was getting better, and then he hurt the other one.
Oh.
At High Point.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, he actually hurt the other knee. Both knees are jacked now. I think the other one was fine. Then High Point started a new and worse injury.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He did say he doesn't need surgery, but yeah, he told me he was going to show up for press day, see how it went. It was good enough to race. He just really wanted to ride Southwick. What is hilarious to me, though, is even at the post after High Point, where he's basically saying he was in a, like, deadly level pain but still got a top 10. And here he just goes 6-11. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, such muscle memory for these guys.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst he can possibly do. He cannot get – he still gets 6. And he's like, I can't even ride, man.
And he fell in the first turn in Moto 2, right? So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
this is, like, he can't do worse than this.
He's like, I'm in so much pain. Oh, my God. 6th.
Yeah. And there's guys behind him just riding their ball out.
Yeah.
Doing – everything they can possibly do, and he's like, oh man, I'm just barely even getting by, and he beats him.
Actually, you Racer X posted the old throwback to Dungey's bike at Southwick, and Bam was a part-time 450 guy then, taking off with the lead.
Didn't see that part. I didn't see that part of the moto.
So how long is he out for? The rest of the comeback for SMX? Did you guys get a sense of that?
I'm sure he'll be back at least for SMX. It might even be quicker than that. Okay. He's a few weeks off. So I wouldn't even be surprised. Maybe Unadilla, like, do this stretch.
Yeah, okay.
Then 2 weeks off, that kind of thing.
Right.
Doesn't sound super, super serious.
Sure, sure. Phil Nicoletti. God, his starts. JT. JT, is he like Donnie Holshot Hansen?
Well, I think Jet's better at starts, but Phil's doing a great job. He's
phenomenal.
Like, this class is pretty difficult, right? And he's putting himself in such a good position. He's running really well, but man, those starts are making his life so much easier. Can we talk about Jet and Hunter starts for a second while we're talking about starts? Because good grief, those guys. I mean, I'm sure the bike is a huge part of it.
Oh, whatever. So we'll be getting to the bottom of that real soon.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but you know, okay.
Well, we discussed it on this pod last week.
You riding the bike?
I'm going to do starts on the bike, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's going to really tell us all we need to know.
I think it will. I think it absolutely will. But yes, they're good. They're really good. You know, the Mandarin was saying last week, I heard the Mandarin was saying that the riders don't even do anything. It's controlled by Japan. It's someone in Japan.
Oh, remotely.
Remotely starting the bikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if you heard that, JT. Was it going?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I did not know what this Mandarin thing was. I saw a very disturbing picture today of this situation.
Weege, talking about Phil, a couple things. 8-8 for ninth. 9-9 for eighth. So Phil can't say.
Oh, Phil, good luck.
Good luck for Phil. And then Weege, you're not going to believe this. He qualified 19th.
Oh.
And then he was
eighth?
Yeah, and then he got eighth. You're not. I know it's odd, but.
But he's probably losing his mind, pissed off. that he was only 18th.
Also, upset in the group text, JT wants to know where the sand went at Southwick.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there were definitely very sandy sections, but it was a very hard base. Chase Sexton mentioned several times how slippery it was. But I think a lot of it was the weather. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of the video of how much rain they got.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. But, did you talk to anybody? Like, did that affect
it? Yeah, I talked to Rick and Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to Rick and Keith about it. And it was, I mean, the what they did to make that place look phenomenal again, they deserve a ton of credit. Yeah, they can't control. I mean, they got. I'm trying to remember what Rick told us on that call. Weege, what did he say? How many inches of rain? And I think he said, "Gosh, I don't want to get it wrong." It was like an unbelievable amount of rain in a very short amount of time.
Who's Rick?
They got.
Who's Rick?
Rick Johnson is Keith Johnson's father. They run the facility.
Not the Rick Johnson.
No. Not RJ.
Okay.
Not former factory Honda rider Keith Johnson. New England Keith Johnson's father.
Aware.
His name is Rick.
Okay, got it. So 9-9 for Phil. Like JT said, puts himself in great positions to do well. And Hari Kulis. This is always a race lately. The Southwick the last few years, whether it's Krestenoff or who's the Swede who Goal, Anton Goal, Van Berkel. Now we got Kulis showing up. We got Kyle Webster. We got Krestenoff back. Osland from Sweden. This has been a really cool race to follow the last few years as these guys show up out of nowhere. But, I picked Hari Kulis for fantasy last week. JT Pulp Fantasy really missed the boat this week when he got ninth overall for Hari. So, and you guys, JT, or Weege, James kept calling him Harry. It's Hari.
Is it Hari?
Yeah, it's Hari.
Oh, my bad.
But Harry works too, I guess.
Okay. But you go Kulas, like super pronunciated.
Yeah, we
Kulas.
Go super Euro. Yeah.
Hari Kulis. hey, Kyle Webster was there for Yariv. Great number, by the way, 762. On the sheets, sponsors just says me. So that's great. Kyle Webster, me.
Yeah, I don't think that was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's some mobile X.
It's definitely not the word me.
No, but do you think? No, but don't you think Kyle put me down before he knew who was sponsoring him? Or do you think?
No, it's a company.
Me,
because Yariv had it all over his T-shirt today.
Okay, yep. So this is.
I'm assuming there was some error somewhere. Where
I thought
X or MX became ME or something.
I thought like he signed up a long time ago, didn't know who he was exactly riding for, and put me.
They just put him. Ricky.
No, if it wasn't for Yariv, he would have never been there.
Yeah. Okay, so Kyle Webster rode really well in Moto 1, qualified 10th, sand guy. All the Aussie listeners we have told me about his sand skills. He's from Corumburra, Australia.
Excuse me?
Corumburra.
Kookaburra?
Everybody knows. No, not Kookaburra.
I was kidding.
Maybe Toowoomba. I don't know, but wherever he's from.
Toowoomba?
Toowoomba. 32nd to 17th after lap one for Kyle Webster in Moto 1, and then second Moto 7th. So good job for Kyle Webster. Such a rando race, again, to have these guys show up. It's kind of cool.
Yep.
Malcolm, that was funny with James and the dad thing, JT.
Ugh.
Got to the bottom of that after all these years. What about – you didn't ask him about the chainsaw.
I didn't remember the chainsaw.
No.
I certainly would have.
I think the chainsaw, though, was only after wins, and it signified – mowing down the competition. I saw it from my own eyes. Phoenix 01 mechanics area. He imitated pulling a chainsaw, got it started, and then mowed down a bunch of trees, imaginary trees. I think that was Wins or other riders, or I don't know. You guys don't remember that?
Not over the chainsaw.
Yeah, the chainsaw was great. I think it was after the wins the chainsaw came. So, but yeah, I remember the safe sign too, the safe sign and then all of that. Yeah, it's great. So we got to the bottom of that.
It's amazing.
Took 25 years or so, we finally got the bottom of it. And shout out to JT who I was like, man, the fact that they filmed big names like he could have been watching it from anywhere. But JT, you were the one that actually told them where he was and where to.
Yeah, triangulating.
Yeah.
Triangulating position in, which is awesome. Yeah, I was very happy to be helping with that.
So Malcolm 8:16 second moto obviously went down. Jason Anderson 4:31. What happened? Like, he was kind of ripping through the pack in Moto 2 and then went down again, I'm guessing. Or do you guys know? Like, he was moving forward with, like, Barcia and then went back again?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Anderson? Is that what you said?
Anderson, yes.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I was so perplexed at what was going on. I couldn't watch anything but those three and try to figure that out.
4:31 for Anderson on the day. Marchbanks was seventh in Moto 1 until the last lap. I don't know if it was a bike. The live timing never had him getting the finish line, the finish flag.
I think it was bike. I think.
Okay, so back to the club guys on the 250 side. Oh, Jet Reynolds and Finnis, this never started again after the red flag?
Wow. Yeah, I don't think he did, right?
Yeah, they never started after the red flag. So really tough day for club and bikes. But our guy Phil, who never has any good luck, right, Weege? Never has good luck.
Yeah, never has good luck. Doesn't have any support.
No.
Doesn't make any money.
His bike made it. So Marchbanks, that's really good. So then he had 17th gate pick and came through the pack from a bad start to get 12th, 15-12. Could have been a 7-12 or maybe 7 better because then he gets a better start in Moto 2 because he has 7th gate pick instead of 15th gate pick. Anyways, point being, I think Marchbanks did a good job.
Yeah, but the he's back to try to get points for playoffs, and everyone's going to count like those 8 points or whatever that he lost on that lap. Like he doesn't need to look far to know what the LCQ.
Yeah, okay, but Weege, sure, you're right. But our guy Phil, who missed one race and has 0 450 points, is already outside the bubble.
Yeah, but he's raced four. He raced four whole map, 8 motos that Marchbanks did not race in.
Yeah, but when Marchbanks beats Phil every single moto from here on out, like, like I think Marchbanks is in. Like we've seen it. Like I think if Garrett just does what he can, right?
Well, he had told me Marchbanks had figured it out. He said I need to go 9-9.
Oh, okay.
I need to average 9-9. Yep. So that's pretty tight. Like for Marchbanks, 9-9 is he can do better than that,
yes,
but not
got it.
So sure. I'm like, man, when you go 15-12 and you need to go 9-9, now you got to probably go 8-8 every weekend.
Yeah.
But that's by his estimate. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's all going to change.
You're saying Garrett is not a mathematician? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I just mean if there's 20 other riders, you don't know how many points they're going to end up scoring. No,
and Dean Wilson's coming back for Red Bud. There's a guy, you know.
Well, no, they're all going to go 1-1, 2-2, 3-3.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I was surprised at Marchbank's speed. First race out at Southwick. Good job.
Yeah, me
Mark
too.
Banks. Yeah,
me too. I'm with you on that.
Christian Craig fell in the first lap of the Moto 1, and he was 39th, and I had him in fantasy, so I was watching that. And 28 on the day for Craig. Krestenoff, I had him in fantasy also. Something happened to him on the last lap, like Marchbanks. He lost 4 spots, just like Marchbanks. I don't think he ever got the checkers. Second moto, he rebounded with a 13th. Alvin Osland from Sweden, MXGP rider, crashed first turn Moto 2, and then first moto was got 11th.
He's battling with Harry.
Harry Kulas.
And I saw that, of course, shocking, Lars Lindstrom provided some support for the Swede. Can't believe it.
Oh, and you're mad I interviewed Lars again.
I'm not mad. I'm just, mad. It's just, it's not mad. It's just like, oh, look, Lars again. Oh. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
They're like winning everything, man. Well, like, what do you want me to do?
I don't know, man. Fine. Talk to somebody else.
Who do you want me to talk to up there? Do you know who's up there?
All the managers, right?
No.
Oh.
Not all the managers.
Oh.
They're not, because some of them are
like
on the track.
Is up there, or just to name a random name?
No.
They're allowed to just be anywhere?
Yeah, they're not. They're not there. No, like, Faye's never there.
Ian?
It's very hit and miss.
Ian?
Like, Ian, probably one out of every. Okay. Like Roger was there, but not Ian.
Yeah. Actually, Roger would be great because he just would just say something like just blunt. Just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sexton needs to be better.
Right.
Yeah.
Not good. And to be fair, the only real reason that we interviewed Lars was because we had the red flag. And I have to. Like, I have to do something. Like, we have to fill time. Like, that's really what's going on. We don't have things planned for that, right? So we've got to audible quickly. And if I can get the team manager for the guys that are winning all the races, then I'm going to do that.
Lars goes upset at my Joe text, and he took it the wrong way. He really thought that was Really?
Well, you were actually serious?
I was dead serious.
No way.
He was in 35th place when you wrote it.
Joe was ripping. No, he wasn't. I had him in fantasy. He was ripping. He was like ninth already by time. Nah, he wasn't ninth. He was up there anyways. And I was like, holy shit, look at Joe. Like, Southwick is hard to pass on. Southwick is narrow in spots. And a bad start, bad whatever, is tough. And I was being dead serious with that text.
Well, I'm Team Lars.
I know you are, yes. But also, to be fair, when I point out that Lars is helping the Swedish guy out of the Honda truck, let it be known that if I was a team manager, every single Canadian guy would have access to the full truck of parts that I have and everything. So,
well, Lars's dad was there also helping Alvin.
Oh, he was? Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was cool. He was over there, and he was pitting next to the next to the door of the semi with the easy up. But then I started to drill down deeper, and Lars has gone to multiple boat across the nations helping the Swedish team.
Yep.
He helped the Australian team back when he was working for Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple of years here with the Lawrence brothers, Shimoda. And I'm like, wait, unless Hymus gets on the Donations team, you are 100% anti-American. You are here for Shimoda.
Yeah.
You're here for the Australians. You're here for the Swedes.
Yeah, and JT's saying he's Team Lars. Oh, he's a traitor.
Can I get a ruling on where we're at on my comment to Joe?
Yeah, why would Lars be mad at you?
Exactly. Steve? Exactly. Thank you.
Jeez. No, he wrote him in the middle of Joe having a horrible moto. He writes, Joe riding really well, Lars.
He is.
It was not good timing.
Dude, he was dead last, or not dead, 35th. And
exactly. Yep, you said it.
He got all the way to ninth. The guy rode great. I can't even win. You know what, though? Again, I put this on Twitter. I blame myself. I send him enough snarky, smart-ass texts that I
No,
just,
that's true. Yeah, exactly. I can't believe it that all of a sudden you just changed. Today is the day. Today is the day. It's just going to be Mr. Positivity.
I get it.
Well, like, there's no way that I can just let it go that Joe, at the almost halfway point, decides to win a moto. Like, I can't.
No.
I can't not say something about that.
Listen, I dug deep into it. I asked Joe at Denver. I dug deep. I said, Joe, you know it all, what we all say, what we all think. You don't come on till late in the series, and by that time it's too late, but you're really on fire at the end of the series. And what's going on? And Joe said, I ride the same all the time. I dug deep, man.
Way to get it out of
me. Yeah, I know. I totally cracked him. I ride the same all the time. Cullen Park, 17th. Shane McElrath, oh boy, really rode well in High Point. And then I don't know if you guys noticed it, but he was, I don't know, sixth in Moto One? Fifth?
Yeah, he was right there.
Not good. And then speaking of Shane and that team, when do we break out the panic button for Chiz? Do we break out a panic button for Chiz?
No, man. He's like 35 years old or
37.
I don't even know him. 37, No, there's no panic button. Like, this is just how things go.
Well, it wasn't that long ago he was doing a little better. So
outdoors?
Yeah. No?
It's like a lot of
this. This is just how things go, man.
Well,
yeah.
All right, Fast Freddy Knorr, not a great
hold
day.
Hold on, a couple things about this.
Okay.
So you can watch our Twisted Tea Best Post Race show. I talked to Chiz and McElrath. So the race is over. We're unpacking of, like, what the heck was that? Sexton Moto, what was up with Jet, Hunter, blah, blah, blah. And then I look, and I'm like, I say to James, I'm like, oh, my God, someone's still out on the track. And it was McElrath, 148 seconds back, but not lapped. And still hammering. I'm like, this dude is still ripping. I'm like, wait, it's McElrath. So I see him at the end of the race, and he's like, yep, I'm riding so bad. I've had to change my goals. After the first moto, my only goal was I am not getting lapped. And he's like, even after I knew I wasn't, I got the white flag, he's like, I'm hammering this last lap. That's all he has to hang his hat on. He didn't get lapped.
Wow.
Great pride in being. Chiz, meanwhile, hilariously, was the last guy to get lapped. He's fine with it.
100% good, yeah.
Yeah, he's fine with it because they were 14th, 15th. But I got to ask you now. So you're the one that has to scoop that Colt Nichols is joining this team.
Yeah.
What does that mean for these guys?
I don't know. I didn't think it meant anything for them. I think they're just
adding a guy.
I think you're just adding a guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Chiz is going to ride out the whole season.
I don't know. I don't know. I just assume they're.
Yeah, I don't think that that's 100%.
Okay.
What?
They yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just know Nichols is coming soon. They are doing World Supercross, so maybe, you know, they're like, hey. Like, if you're Dustin Pipes, like, you're spending a lot of money to go 18-19 with your guys. Maybe you say to them, hey, we got World Supercross coming up. Kenny's out for the rest of the season. He's not coming back to LSMX. So maybe you're like, hey, we're going to go riding with Colt and one of you two.
Yeah, I could see. Because I didn't even know Chiz was a full-time outdoor guy anyway.
No, I don't think he is. But Chiz will just – if Pipes tells him to stay home, he's just going to race Date City on the weekends.
Yeah, it's true.
And then go to SMX. You know,
right. So it could be McElrath and Nichols the last couple.
Maybe.
Yeah. And did I hear you say that you already know McElrath's going somewhere else next year?
I think he's going to Mad Parts Cowie, yeah.
Wow.
These are the kind of teams I specialize in, Weech.
I mean, that's kind of the next team in line. I mean, if they have Freddie and McElrath,
it's like a
going a long way.
It's like a young Butler Brothers, MX.
It is.
Because you think about Butler Brothers, they started out with just the brothers in a trailer, and at some point they had JT and Doug DeHaan.
Yeah, this was just Paulie basically racing. Yeah. And here we are.
Butler Brothers had Andrew Short and Michael Byrne.
Yeah,
and Justin Brayton.
I just meant the first leap, the first thing they
started. No, I'm saying, where they ended up.
Yeah.
Like, they had legit dudes.
Right, but when you make the step to Freddie, and then you make the step to McElrath, you're maybe 3 years away. Like, they're making those types of moves. They're just moving up the ladder.
Freddie did not have a good day, but as I said on our fantasy pod, Freddie once turned down a designation spot on Team Sweden when it was at Lomel because he's not a sand guy.
But he's had good results here before.
Has he?
Yeah, the 1 year JGR picked him up and he, like, killed it, and then... It was like one of the last good things that ever happened for JGR.
JGR picked up a guy? Okay, that's odd.
I know, shocking.
Somebody, JT, in our group text, do you remember Kate Ottenright?
Oh, wow. Yes.
JT, Kate Ottenright.
Yeah, I remember the name.
JGR. Sure. He was JGR.
He filled in at JGR.
I was like...
I mean, everybody filled in at JGR.
when that person dropped Kate Ottenright on me, I was like, oh, my God. I forgot.
For like the next 2 years, anytime we saw Kate Ottenright in LCQ or qualifying, Steve would just be like, he's here to show them. He's here to show JGR.
I mean, that was Christian Craig's first ride.
Yeah.
Like, you just go down, there's like endless names.
Yeah.
It's endless.
James Harrington cost me $40. I want to thank him for that, and I would probably be billing him for $40. So, Harlan, DNF Moto 1, Jerry, DNF Moto 2. So if you put them together, they went 18-18. Grant Robin or Jerry Harlan, 18-18 on the day.
Did you see Harlan's tweet about the race?
No.
He basically just said, yeah, that was embarrassing. I had nothing for this track.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, what else? Derek Kelly, not a good day for Derek Kelly. Jeremy Hand, not a good day. Marshall Welton, bad day.
Lots of DNFs amongst that crew you just named.
Yeah, I think there was 31 guys in Moto2 going, so 9 guys DNF, something like that.
What's the most you've ever seen DNFs?
We had 24 to race one time, I believe.
Yep, I remember seeing 22 at Millville.
Okay,
that could have been more.
The Mudder?
I 100% remember it being 22.
The Mudder? The Mud Race? Or
no, it wasn't muddy. It was just incredibly hot.
Yeah,
like insanely hot. People are having heat strokes and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, 450 class. Anything else? Jet Lawrence winner.
Nope.
Are we all saying Jet wins the title?
Yes. And do we all say that we have? Oh wait, was this round five? This was round five. So we have six rounds left. That is 18 podium spots. And how many of those 18 go to somebody other than Jet, Hunter, or Chase? Overall podiums.
Yeah, I've changed in a hurry, man.
I don't know, maybe one?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Maybe one or two. Somebody okay. crashes.
Let's go
or something.
Two. Yeah, let's go two. I think maybe two. Okay.
I mean, AP was there for a second today. I don't know where he went, but he was there for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, flyracing.com. I talked about Maxis off the top of the show. Thank you to Renthal as well, renthal.com. You look at Jet Lawrence, Renthal guy, Chase Exon, Renthal, Hunter Lawrence, Renthal, renthal.com, everybody. Go on their website, check it out. Chains, sprockets, grips, bars from 7/8 to the Fat Bar 36. They've got you covered. And vintage stuff. They got a whole bunch of those 7/8 colored end bars for your vintage bike as well. Renthal.com for more information on that. Motorsport as well, motorsport.com. They support the American Motocross Outdoor Series. And they do the whole shot and Pulp Mex Fantasy as well. OEM and aftermarket parts. So if you're like Weege and you need stickers and oil and everything else, just go to motorsport.com and go through the banner on Pulp Mex to help us out. Motorsport.com, great dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. And also Weege Onyx Maps.
Yes, Onyx Maps got 500 plus or 600,000 miles of trails mapped out. Be you a hiker or a mountain biker or a dirt bike rider, they've got constantly making upgrades to specify the trails, to give advice on the trails. You don't get any of that stuff on Google Maps. So check it out. Go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Offroad. Download the app. Take it for a free trial. We'll give you 20% off if you want to subscribe. And it's all lowercase Racer X, one word. And speaking of subscribing, we do have the Ethica underwear if you want to subscribe to the magazine to get a free pair of underwear. People really, really, like, to an out-of-control level, seem to want these. I do wear them myself because I was sent some for free, so I recommend you do the same. Just subscribe to the mag.
All right, fair enough. By the way, I tweeted out that Chase did not ride like a sack of potatoes out there in the second moto, and he liked the tweet. So he didn't call me, but he did like that tweet.
Oh, okay.
Didn't call me.
Oh, why are you laughing?
I think it's awesome. I love that he didn't call you.
Yeah, no, so does Lewis. Yeah. All right, let's get into... So let's talk about this for a second. The sound enforcement at Southwick, obviously FMF had a problem a little bit. Jordan Smith got docked 3 points after the race, gave Savacci fifth overall. Max Ansi got his fast time taken away. I think I heard Dax Bennett got docked. I think someone else did too. What was going on with the sound?
Bennett got docked, I think, for jumping a yellow flag or red cross.
He lost his...
It was not sound. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it was not sound. Okay.
It was not sound for Bennett. It was sound for Anstey.
Okay, and sound for Jordan Smith after the race. You guys hear anything about sound? Anybody, you know?
But here's the biggest loser. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is heartbreak. So we all know the fast qualifier is going to come out of B.
Yeah.
Right? B,
yep.
2-3-B, first group. So the 238, I thought it was a joke. I thought they were saying Deegan was. I'm like, no, Deegan's 38 this year, guys. They're like, no, 238 was fast. I'm like, yeah, Deegan's not 238 anymore. No. Benji Robinson had the fastest lap, fails sound test, they take his first lap, his best lap away, and then he ends up not making it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He would have been number one qualifier.
Okay.
Instead, his second lap was only good enough to be 20th in the B group, and he doesn't make it.
You know what? I don't feel bad for him. Nope.
What?
I don't feel bad for him.
Really?
You can't back up one other lap? Like you,
I mean, he banked it. I think, like, that's all he needed.
You got to do another one. Something.
I mean, not really. Like, you go by and they tell you you're P1. Like, that, everybody knows that B group is, that's the move. You get that lap and you're P1. You're like, oh, we're dialed.
No problem. I get it. We're dialed. But can you put in another, like, the fifth fastest one? No?
I don't know.
I mean, now I'm thinking.
Not. Apparently not.
Now I'm thinking that Benji is cut the track somewhere.
No, he didn't. He was ripping.
Man, I thought Tony La Russa was going to make it. Good story. 52 years old. Didn't make it. Bummer for Tony. Really thought he would get out there like B group and just lay it down. But
yeah, I think that I realized the problem is he was 14th. Then it was 12th because two guys got booted for sound. But I'm like, oh, the problem is we're all like, oh, B group, he's got it for sure.
Yeah.
But everybody else in that B group is also local fast dudes.
Yeah, true.
And they also are going to do the exact same thing. So good for him. There were 46 guys out there, and he ended up being 14th best out of 46, which is impressive. But he wasn't out there by himself. I think that was the part we forgot. Everybody else will be hauling ass.
Yeah, maybe.
The first lap as well.
Okay, getting back to sound, did you guys hear of any new technology or enforcement or anything?
Oh, why that was happening? No, I don't.
Okay. Because as we know,
I was wondering if it had something to do with, like, it was really cloudy, which could change, like, the humidity
sure.
or something.
Yep.
Like, maybe, I don't know. That was the only thing I could come up with, was that the weather was very different. Mm-hmm. Like, so it wasn't, you know, crisp, cool air.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
So, I don't know.
I spoke to a gentleman in Italy, and he was telling me about this new technology coming to stop the cheating on the sound tests. And, yeah, he was, like, really enthused by it as far as plugging into the bike and doing it themselves. So, yeah, we'll see what they do over there. I think they're even lower. We're 108 or something. I think they're even lower over there.
Was it Cairoli?
What?
Was it Antonio Cairoli?
No. No.
Was it the Pope?
No, it was he had a white shirt on, but it wasn't the Pope.
Okay.
All right, Southwick 250s. Come on, Tom. Come on. I know it looked like he got held up by a lapper. He had a really bad lap there. You got to win that. I can't take him seriously now. I can't take him seriously. You
can't take him seriously?
I can't. No. He won Southwick last year.
Like, so every time you talk to him, you're just going to start laughing?
I think so.
Like he amuses you?
I think so. Like, you got to win that. You got to do that. Not awesome for Tom Vial and KTM. Like, still got second overall, but that was big.
No, the stupidity title is over.
Oh yeah. How about Deke Scrub Moto 2?
Oh my God, he did not mean to do that.
He did not. That is not something he wanted to do.
Not mean to do that. Not like that.
No. And Weege, the win. He was great. Hayden was great again. The whole shot in Moto 1, and then just see you later. It's doing it for the doubters, Weege. Doing it for the doubters.
Well, I'm wondering if the doubters are just plural, or if he had one specific doubter specifically who on multiple shows has been saying that Southwick was going to be it's his or whatever you want to say. It was his worst race last year.
So I mean, I'll take it. I know you're talking about me, and I'll take it. I'm here for it.
Well, I was getting at that. So, Steve, is there a chance that he was just specifically saying this to JT, literally to JT?
I mean, picture the Ryan Villopoto gif. I want that to happen. I don't think so, though.
Oh, I'm here for it. I would happily take that because, Steve, you don't think so?
No. No.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I'd like it to be.
I mean, I said it on multiple shows.
Yeah, that they're not pissed.
This track
they're
could be pissed. A problem. And I stand by it. Like, when you get into last year's race and say that it's going to be difficult, and then you put a 4:10 or 10:4 or whatever score that was on the board, and we go back here the next year, yeah, and you're dominating everything, it's the one question I have. I'm not going to back away from that. Like, I'm happy to say, guess what, man? We were asking questions, how could you do it? And you damn sure delivered. Like, I have no problem with that. So if that's what he needs to do is, like, say he proves all the doubters wrong, no problem. I'm 100% here for it.
We talked about this last week. Like, this isn't a motocross thing. This is like a millennial thing, because you got NBA guys and NFL guys saying they're doing it for the doubters. And you're like, wait, you're like super awesome. You're like amazing. Who's doubting you? And there's probably some idiot on social media that they read these comments that doubt
them. No, but I think I was. I think I was asking those questions.
That's fine.
Like, I wasn't like, he's going to suck. I was more like,
right.
I don't know. This could be a thing. Like, this could be a way for Vial to call back in if Deegan has a terrible day and Vial throws like a 1-2 or a 1-1 on the board.
Yeah, yeah. If he goes 10-4 and Vial wins. Yeah.
That was it. So and normally I would be like, come on, man. But I definitely said that multiple times. And in that scenario, if you don't like it, show up and do something about it. And that's exactly what he did. Exactly what he did.
So I don't think it was JT, but I would like that. That'd be great. He rode great. He was amazing. Stu's great, Weege. He's great. But I had to laugh when he said he doesn't think Hayden means to be disrespectful to the competition. So, like, when he says Chance doesn't have a chance and Levi's out of shape and all of this stuff, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean to be disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of that one.
He totally does. He totally does. Oh,
it's a complicated thing with Deegan. This is more of how it's. I don't know if this is 18, 15% somewhat of a show. I believe they respect the other riders for they know how hard the sport is. They know the sacrifice that everybody makes. They know how dangerous it is. They know the risk. I don't think they mean it as disrespectfully as it comes across. There is some.
All right. Okay.
There is some. I don't know if it's, again, 82% and 18% not.
Okay.
They're just, I just want to remind everyone over and over, they are on a different channel when it comes to what they say and why they say it. They're on a different marketing thing, and I don't believe it's everything that it sounds like. There is some level of, in the wrestling world, we call it work. Some of it's a work, some of it's not. Some, I don't believe it's 100% real.
Okay.
I think some of it is meant to be quotable and be viral and be interesting and be awesome content. And damn it, all that stuff works. So we are not used to that here. So it sounds unbelievably disrespectful and jarring because it's not what we're used to hearing. I don't think
the next time someone gets mad at me, I'll just be like, "Hey, man, 18% of what I said was really respectful towards you."
I know it sounds crazy, but I don't think they take it as seriously as everyone else takes it when they hear it.
Hey, Marty, when I said you went in with a mask and a gun, what I really meant, Marty, was you're a hell of a.
It was only
it was a COVID mask. It was a COVID mask.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Again,
I think part of their game is you're always going to say something quotable. Every time a microphone is on, we're going to say something interesting. That's how we build brands.
I agree. I totally know. I know what you're saying, and I agree. Yeah. But in the process, he's disrespecting his competitors,
pissing a lot of people off along the way.
Oh, so that I mean,
but
good. I'm saying that's where they're coming from. It's not being received that way.
Good luck catching them, though, if you're pissed at them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, until you can do something about it, what are you going to do? That's why I don't. I thought James made a good point of, like, or I don't know if it was James or Weege, but somebody said something like, no one's talking back because they can't do anything about it. Yeah. So if you can't do anything about it, probably shouldn't talk either.
Well, great job for Deegan. He's won 4 of the 5 Nationals and came within maybe a half a lap of winning the 5th at High Point. So, great job. Vial second. Joe Shimoda qualified 24th. Started out rough, but then rode great in the first moto. Got it. You know, everyone saw that. Everyone texted that. Great job. Came from last to 9th, and then won Moto 2, as JT said. He rides the same all the time, though. Hymus is second.
He texts Lars when he's in like 18th after crashing on start.
He was ripping.
Joe's riding really well, huh, Lars?
He was ripping.
What the text said.
He was ripping. Hymus's second moto last few laps were really good. I don't know.
Yeah, he's pumped.
You guys didn't really show him. Yeah, you didn't show him on the screen, but he dug in deep and put some good times in to get 5th. 3-5 on the day for Chance Hymus, 4th overall. Again, that's just like a normal ride for him now, which is awesome. Joe Dog, 5-6th. Good starts for Joey.
Not bad for a guy that doesn't like sand.
Doesn't like the sand, nope.
And it had been trending the wrong way. This is like back to where he started the other, which I think you really need.
Yep. Kitch fell in Moto 2, was leading for a little bit. Fell in Moto 2, 4-7 on the day.
What do we think happens if it doesn't get red flagged? Because I think that moto turns out totally different.
Oh, it would have been great, right? Because everybody in the points was up there. It was great. And Deegan was.
And he looked like he was on it.
Yeah. By the way, is Bomer all right? Do we know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he got knocked pretty silly, but I actually saw him after the race. Found our buddy Seth Rowe, wanted to count of how many legends that he saw.
Oh, yeah. And what did he say? How many legends?
He said he was disappointed. He hadn't seen a lot of legends. He had missed a lot of them. He saw Treadwell. He had not run into Dowd. He had not run into Henry.
I saw Doug Henry.
JT,
I did see Doug Henry.
JT, do you think it's proper to call Wally Silva a legend?
Are you saying he's not a legend?
Yes, I am. Good rider.
Okay. I would tend to be on your side.
Because Seth...
I just wanted to make you say it.
Seth got angry with me when I was saying Wally Silva's not a legend. So, it's just...
Wally Pipp is a legend. Wally Silva, probably not.
Right. You can call Henry there.
Anyway, I went over there and I said, hey, where's... how's Bumair doing? Yeah. And he's like, he's right here. And he was just standing there.
Okay.
Kind of funny. Like, remember when Amart put on the Troll Train vlog after he got knocked out in Orlando? You remember that?
We lost you. You broke up there. What'd you say? Troll Train?
Sorry.
What?
Chung Train had a vlog when he got knocked unconscious at Orlando, and then like 2 a.m, just like rambling incoherently, hilariously.
No, I don't remember that.
That was kind of booming over there about an hour after the race.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad he's all right. Yes, JT, red flag.
Yeah, and of course, everyone just laughing at him. I mean, only in motocross would just be like, ha, ha, ha. You don't even know where you're at. Ah. Only in motocross.
Right? Yeah, totally.
So wait, are we there on, is it Boom Air or is this like a Kulas? Is this a Harry Kulas?
I believe Kulas. It is Boom Air, and I need to be more consistent with making sure it's definitely, I say.
So yeah, Kitsch. Bad deal for Kitsch.
Red flag. And it's Tom Guillon, not Guyon. I was trying to get that to you, but
well, yeah, I said about qualifying, and then
that guy can beat it. He can kick rocks.
His bike broke. What do you want him to do?
I don't care.
Oh yeah, because that's his fault.
The Guillon thing. That's what I said in qualifying, and then I was interrupted before the moto and told it was Guyon, and then later told it was Guillon again. Was and he, I'm like, okay.
Was he a legend? Was he a legend?
He might actually be, because some of our information was coming from our man, Tom Jornet, who is partially French, and he probably does think of him as a legend.
You know who was there this weekend, though? I got an insider tip. Valentin Tillier.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he was there with Guillon or Guyon.
Yes, he's the team manager. He owns a team in France that Guillon races
for. Oh, Tillier. Good rider. Good
and
rider.
And I say it either. I love the pronunciations on the show.
They're not even attempting
to do
great, great rider. Kitsch, sixth. Jordan Smith would have got fifth overall, except for those points taken away. And he just tweeted that he's the only rider in history, he said, to fail a post-race sound check, which he might be.
He did.
He might be. So Jordan rode really well, but yeah, went from fifth overall to seventh after getting those points docked. Just an off week in the title chase for Masterpool, or like where are we at? Just
damn it! I was hoping.
Look, Red Buddy's good for us. So.
Oh, I mean,
what was the result today?
6-8.
He rode good.
That's all
just
right.
Lost some more points. That's the problem. It wasn't bad by any means.
And you did say something like he's going to be a top five guy from here on out.
Well. I think I kind of said that, too. This was San. Maybe San's not his thing.
I mean, this wasn't bad by any means.
It wasn't bad. No, it's okay. This is about what I thought it would be this year. I really did. This is about – it's about what it was on the 450 last year. Kind of what I thought it would be.
He's a freaking privateer, though. He's on a pro circuit bike now. It's not going to be the same as last year.
Last year, the 450 class looked like Baghdad. It was bombed out. There was no one left. He
wasn't just getting beat by those dudes, and then 30 seconds later, here comes Masterpool.
No, he wasn't.
He was battling them.
But look, like, there is depth in this 250 class. Like, they're not the names, the superstars that you might want, but there's a lot of guys going really fast in that 250 class.
You just wait. You watch Red Bud. You've seen what we can do there.
I'm not saying he can't. I'm a believer. I'm just saying...
Red Bud
that
podium.
I don't know that it's going to happen every single time.
Red Bud podium, stamp it.
He might.
Yeah, maybe.
He might.
Pierce Brown, ninth. Casey Cochran, 10th.
Cochran was good. I was impressed by Cochran.
Yep. Ryder D, 10-11. It's probably a good job for Ryder D, like lately. It's solid. Take that. By the way, talking about going back to Savachi, I tweeted this as well. Renan and the Renan gear and the Triumph, like, good look. It's a good look. Do we agree?
It is.
It's a good look. Swole's bike broke in Moto 1, but yeah. Daxton Bennick, 12th. That's better. Max Anstey, so much Anstey hype. His agent was there and everything, and he gets his time, qualifying time taken away. And so what? He crashed Moto 1 first lap and then he had a bike issue? Or did he crash again and that caused the second bike issue?
He had a crash with someone, and somehow metal from the crash got stuck in his rear wheel, and that's why he couldn't push the bike forward.
Okay, but was that from the first crash? He only had one crash?
That was from the first crash.
Okay, got it.
Then he got going and realized he had a hole in his pipe, and was like, this isn't going to work. So he just like, you know what? Take it back to the truck. This moto wasn't meant to be.
But then like 10 minutes in, they're looking at the bike in the mechanics area. It's like, guys, it's over.
This was after they pushed the – they had to get the bike running. Then they got it back to the mechanics area, and they were trying to figure out what was wrong with it. Uh-huh. And then they found the hole in the pipe.
Okay.
And then he was like, what am I – I'm going to go out 7 laps down?
No, yeah, like, no, exactly. Yeah, right. No, yeah. Exactly. And he told you all this in, you know, typical Anstey style.
Yeah, about 18 minutes right. worth of conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of Max Anstey hype, and yeah. I wonder if it was what about Anstey? No, Anstey. Was Anstey there?
Was Anstey Anstey?
Anstey and Anstey? I don't know, man. Yeah.
Who?
Not a great Yamaha PR moment. not a great one.
Yeah, the Yamaha PR said Max Anstey.
Anstey.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it misspelled Philadelphia. Had won a race in Philadelphia, but didn't it misspell Philadelphia or something?
Yeah.
I think they were in a rush to get it out because they were riding at Southwick that day, so they were just...
Yep. And somebody...
Hitting
somebody talked about it on an internet radio show.
Oh, I did actually hear that. They were in a rush because someone had been talking about it. A guy named Mathis on pole had been talking about it.
Idiot.
Already. Yeah. I will say in classic super agent Justin Brayton, unbelievable. So Brayton manages to get Anstey off of the Firepower Honda team. And then riders meeting is ending. And I see Uribe, the owner of that team, and JB walking away like they were hanging out together at the riders meeting and walking back to the truck together. And I'm just like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
You and Uribe, still cool.
Anstey, bad decision to leave Firepower? All caps?
Ooh.
Maybe broken heart.
I mean, Webster was good.
Yeah. Right.
Webster was good.
Talon Hawkins was the first privateer out there in 14th, so good job for him. Jet Reynolds, 12th or in Moto 1, and then a bike problem in Moto 2. But Jet Reynolds, 12th. Good job.
What was the final score there for the club guys in Moto 2?
38th and 39th. And then Marchbanks, 14th. Phil 9th?
38, 39.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's right. 38, 39, and Shock is hurt.
Yeah.
So they went from 1, 2, 3 at the last race.
Yeah.
So the second moto of the previous race, they were 1, 2, 3 early. And then the second moto of the next race, they are hurt, not racing, and then two guys don't finish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motocross, everybody.
Yeah.
Talviku did pretty good, Estonian. He's good in the sand. He's had good results at the track before. Ryder McNabb, Canadian hero, 16-19. Romano, oh boy. Nick Romano or Shane McElrath, who wants to leave Southwick behind the most? Both?
Oh.
At this point, do you think Bobby Reagan is even talking to Nick Romano?
It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what happened there. Like, he should be good. 2 years ago, he raced the Nationals. He was, like, hovering around 10th every weekend, wasn't he?
I thought so. I mean, I don't know. I get Romano and Fry and the other one all mixed up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what has happened.
Yeah.
He should be better.
It's not great, that's for sure. Scary moment for Schwartz there to get hit by Cochran. Glad he got up and finished.
Oh, yeah, and somehow finished.
Yeah.
I did not see a 21st place finish coming out of that.
And Evan Ferry was in the points in both motos.
Oh.
Couldn't do it. 24-22 on the day. We needed that 21st one point, which I've always advocated for and I've always wanted and I always loved.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always thought it was a great idea, and we just missed out on it. Yeah. Big backer of that. So. All right. That's Southwick. We're on the red button. Adam seen Cirillo in the pit reporting. Weej, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought he was good, and I felt it was a little unfair at one point before we started. I'm like, hey, anything you need to know or anything you want to learn? Because I think poor Adam was always considered such a natural, and like 10 years ago people already assumed he was going to do this job. That I know what it's like to be doing something for the very first time and people not realizing it's your first time and not, you know, helping you more. So I just wanted to make sure that no one just assumed hey, you really do good at interviews with the riders, so there's nothing you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was okay. I mean, he's going to get way better. You know, I think just everyone needs to remember, as much of a natural as he is, I said, hey, have you ever interviewed a rider with a microphone before? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay, so interviewing Sexton, fast qualifier, that is literally the first time you've ever done that in your life in any capacity. He's like, yes. And I'm like, yeah, just keep that in mind, man. That's a lot.
It was a shock to the system to see it for me. You're just like, life comes at you fast, man.
It was. I felt the same way. Like, we all knew Adam would probably do this job, but I saw it and I'm like, wait, it looks like Adam the racer. Like, is he racing? It still looks like Adam Cicerillo the racer.
No, it was weird for sure. No, I thought he did a good job.
But he's awesome, and it'll be cool. He's going to be back at Buzz, and I'm sure a lot more in the future.
I think it's a little too much myself, but that's just me. I don't
too
like
much?
Yeah, too much between four of you guys going around. I'm just like a, you know, those three man booths or in the real sports. I'm always like, eh, I don't know. Felt like sometimes you guys were stepping on each other because you're all trying to throw it around and you're trying to like ping pong it, right, or volley it back and forth, which is awesome. But sometimes you're like, oh, okay. So that's
it is a lot of knowledge. I see what you're saying. It's definitely evolved, and I've talked about this in the show. I believe the shows have evolved from the monster trucks days of just sell, and I think they want it to be much more conversational. If a pass happens here and there that we end up not even really building up or even calling, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they take a lot of it from, you know, most motorsports, the races are way longer, so there's way more just let the experts just have a discussion time, and this sport is hard because it's a little shorter and a lot more intense. But I think they like that. So yeah. I just think that's the direction it's constantly going.
Yeah, no, that could be. Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, that's why people like this podcast, for example. It's just guys bench racing, right? And throwing it around. And so you ought to be a little more professional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look, we got to the bottom of, because of this, we got to the bottom of the Big James hand signals 25 years later.
Yes, which I'm here for. I'm here for that stuff all day long. I'd rather hear about that than, you know, can he make it stick? No. Can he make it stick now? No. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. Like, I get that. So,
yep.
But no, Adam did a good job. Yeah, as usual. But JT, it was weird to see him interview guys. 100%. Really weird.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I had been in meetings with him kind of all week and all weekend, so I think I was kind of past it at that point, if that makes sense.
It's like, hey, man, I was just racing with you in a heat race 2 months ago. How'd you feel today? But he filled in. Did he not fill in a couple years ago in Cowie when he was in Cowie?
He did.
Yeah,
he's
done
two other races, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I felt like we've seen him before a little bit, which is good. All right. Anything else?
I actually found Benji Robinson on Instagram and sent him a message, but he hasn't hit me back yet.
Well, you tell him what I said. I don't care. He should have put
it. Are you going to Redbud? Are you done for the season?
Really? Yeah. That's where you're at? Am I done for the season?
I don't know. I mean, I figured you'd be in for some of the SMX stuff.
Oh, thank you.
I know you're a big fan of that Charlotte press box.
Yep, yep. Well,
I figured you'd be there.
We know why we got to go to SMX. We know why.
It's the Super Motocross World Championship playoffs.
No. You know. I'm not allowed to say anything.
Oh, okay.
I've been muzzled.
Can you, like, text me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
But yes, I will be at Redbud. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, love Redbud. Great race, great track. So
that is.
And then fantastic. Okay. All right. Anything else, boys? Good job on a Saturday night, though. Way to pull through. It's late there. Everything else. Good job.
We did it.
Yep.
We did it.
And now tomorrow, JT, you can just get drunk with your friends. You ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. No.
Okay.
I'm not going to get drunk, but I will be able to go to bed really early and not have to, like, miss dinner or whatever, which is fine. It's no, but yeah, it'll be great to not do that.
Before we go, a couple things. Eric Grondahl raced. I meant to bring that up.
He did.
It's been a long time since
I know you're a big Mike Grondahl fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hell of a guy.
You and him see eye to eye politically.
And then, is that Ziggy's kid?
Yeah. They both made it.
Okay. All right. I thought that was Ziggy's kid, but I wasn't exactly sure. So that's cool. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Eric's a big-time bicycle guy. rides for like a couple months, like, I want to do this again.
Yeah.
And it's like right back in, qualifies.
Was there any JoJo sightings?
I didn't see him, but didn't I hear him? I believe Egawatt interviewed him on the podium or in the announcer's tower.
There was talk. I didn't see him either, but there was talk.
JoJo, legend. Yeah. Now there's a legend.
That is a legit legend. But I was getting worried because, you know, we're listening. We must have been in a commercial or something, like in between the motos. And I hear Megawatt interviewing JoJo. And Megawatt is like, everybody gives JS7 credit for the scrub. You invented the scrub. You invented the scrub. And I'm like, oh, crap. Listening to this. I'm like, oh, no. James is listening to this. But Megawatt was smart. And he's like, now, we all know James is here today in the booth, and he perfected it. He took it to another level, but you started it. And I'm like, all right, that's fair. Okay, that's.
I know, because there was a photo, right? A Buckley photo of JoJo.
There was this famous photo. Yeah, exactly. And it is amazing from whatever, like 1982 or something.
I don't think JoJo takes credit for the scrub. I really don't. But whatever.
No, I don't think so. JoJo's not like that at all.
No, JoJo's a legend. Sorry, Wally Silva, but...
Go ahead. JoJo is what legend is made for. Like, that is, he is absolutely the legend.
Absolutely, 100%. So,
yep.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And Fly Racing, flyracing.com. 25 years of Fly. Chance Hymus wearing Fly out there. Sorry, Lars, if you're listening. I really meant that as a compliment. I'm dead serious. I don't blame you for thinking that, though, after some of the other asshole texts I've sent during the year. But this time, I was serious. All right.
I'm so here for him being mad at you. So here for it.
Okay, well, I'm so here for D showing you what's up, you doubter.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I deserve it. I'm here for it. Fine.
Or JT saying to Joe, this is when a lot of people say that you...
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's good.
You start the year slow and you really start to come on.
I was very excited about that one.
I ride the same all the time.
Okay,
Joe.
Okay.
Right, moving on. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change the air.